What's happening, everybody who listens to this? It's Saturday, April 21st, and it's been a minute for sure. Figured I would go ahead and knock one out, considering I still haven't got over the loss. Rather brutal end to the season. And here I am now, like, what, 3 weeks later, a month later? I don't know. So it's the off season, obviously. We'll probably knock out, 3, 4, 5, 6, 10, 1 of these, depending on what type of news is out there. But with the incoming guys and the outgoing guys, which is the entire starting lineup, real original, there will be plenty to talk about with the draft and where people land. And the incoming people, starting lineup expectations, bench expectations, and what have you. So there should be plenty for a few episodes during the off season to keep everybody in tune, I guess. This podcast is available on iTunes, obviously. It's also available on Stitcher and Google Play if you have an Android, which if you do, I kind of feel bad for you. Just kidding, but kind of like iPhones. A few people on YouTube reached out to me and said, where are the episodes? Because I got a new laptop and the software that I had auto set up to upload to YouTube and stuff, I have not re-implemented into my new laptop. So I'll definitely do that as soon as I can. But until then, just go to Stitcher or iTunes or Google Play and search Blue Devil Dive and subscribe, just in case I do a 2 a.m. episode or something and I don't get time to put it on the YouTube, which means I'm a lazy ass. But just subscribe on one of those other platforms just in case. I'll get this one up to YouTube so whoever listens there can hear it. And I'll make it a point to get it there as well, because that's where like half the people stumbled upon me and were like, I like these. I was like, well, shit, at least somebody does. So, but yeah, cool. Got that out the way. Like I said, brutal end to the season. I didn't knock out an episode after that because I was actually depressed. It was, you know, nobody knows what would have happened against Villanova if Duke moved on. They would probably have been the underdog as far as betting and as far as common sense standpoint. But you never know. I mean, a long time ago, they were the severe underdog against UNLV. And they beat them. And they've been the underdog plenty of times and beat teams. If for somehow they did get past Villanova, I imagine in the championship they would have won. So, it sucks. It was a charge. Good job, Wendell Carter Jr. That was a great charge. The ref was smoking dick. And he was obviously dumb, deaf, drunk, and blind. So, what can you do? You know, the shot by Grayson, it went all the way in, swished, and somehow somebody hit rewind and it came back out. Like, I don't really know. And I know they were game planning to take Marvin Bagley out of the game, offensively at least. And I still, even if a team's game planning for that, I still think he should have got the ball more. So, you know, if that team stays together and goes on a second year, I'm sure they learn a ton. I'm sure they implement it, and I'm sure they probably win a championship. But in the world we live in, that's not going to happen. It didn't happen, and it won't happen until they implement a 2-year minimum for college basketball, which I think needs to happen. I think they never should have took out the you can go straight from high school to the NBA. I don't think they should have taken that out. And that's that. The whole starting lineup is gone. The loss sucked. I've kind of distanced myself from competitive basketball fandom for a minute to try to just clear my mind a little bit, just because how frustrating that loss was. And, I mean, it was a super awkward tournament. So many good teams losing early. And, you know, Duke was kind of left out there, and they just kept improving. And then we all know what happened, but it happens. The good news is the guys coming in this year could be even better all-around talent, especially with hopefully a true point guard, which is what Jones looks like. And the talent around him and the returning guys who are maturing on the bench, it gives you something to be excited about, really excited about. But at the same time, it's like, damn, a whole new set of guys. Like I just got to liking everybody else, and now everybody's gone. That's the world we live in, though. That's the team that we pull for. That's how it is right now. And the good news is, you know, the guys coming in, they all look like they're bonding. They all look like good friends. They all look like they're all comfortable with each other. They all like each other. They all want to be there. They all want to win. They look like they have killer mentalities and that they actually care about winning. And, you know, they got the swag, which, I mean, I don't know if that matters, but to me it matters. I mean, you want a team out there that feels like they're the, you know, they're the best, and they act like the best, walk, talk like the best, and keep the class, which you have to have if you go to Duke, but still have that bulldog mentality as well. So it looks like they have that. But yeah, just kind of like, it's not overwhelming, but a word similar to that, where it's just like, man, okay, so another team, another starting lineup, another year of underachievement this year. The team did good, but as far as expectations, you know, it was sort of championship or bust. They didn't get an ACC championship. They didn't get a regular ACC championship. They didn't get an NCAA championship. They didn't get to the Final Four. But that happens. It is what it is. You know, anybody can beat anybody, especially when you play against a veteran team or a team that's been together longer. They have advantages that raw talent can't always overcome. And you saw that. But again, the refs, it seemed like they were wearing Kansas jerseys, but maybe my eyes were deceiving me. I doubt it. And yeah, so, I mean, next year, Duke's looking good from a talent standpoint and from where the rest of the league is. You can see Duke doing well. But you just have to see. I mean, you'll just have to see. Sorry. And we will see. Got a ways to go. But I guess the anticipation, the excitement, it'll grow as the season gets closer, obviously. Right now, I'm just kind of like coming off of that low from losing. And then it's like, oh, reloaded. Like, whole new team, whole new lineup, whole new defense. I mean, yeah, the zone was okay, but they were in zone because they couldn't play man. Half the guys could not move their feet. So I hope they can play man. I hope they can lock in on defense this year. And I hope there's a good leader. Like, we'll have to see who steps up as a true leader, which is going to be important. And I think Trey Jones is more than ready to do a lot of things, but we're not going to know until we see it in the Duke uniform in tough games early on in the season. So we'll see. So there's a lot of things that is going to be interesting. Zion's jump shot, how he fits into the offense, what role RJ Barrett plays. Like, does he play like a Tatum role where they give him the ball and just let him go a lot? Or do they run a lot of sets because they have a great point guard? And things like that. So it's going to be interesting. And then how good is Bolden? How much has he improved? I think he's going to play a big role. And then, you know, they still have O'Connell, Goldwire, Jack White, Vrankovic, you know, the whole bench. I can name the whole bench, but you know. So, yeah, it'll be interesting. Ways to go. We still got the draft for, obviously, everyone who left, which is the whole lineup, as I said. It'd be interesting to see where they go. We'll talk about that as it gets closer. I mean, you don't know the order of the draft yet or the combine results or anything like that, but everybody left, and I guess that was the most likely scenario. Thought maybe Trent might come back, maybe Carter. Carter toyed with us a little bit, but in the end, I think they're all going to get drafted, so they all left. And that's that. I mean, with the people coming in, and, you know, it made sense. So if Carter would have came back, that would have been huge. But I don't blame him at all, so good luck. Yeah, I thought I'd have a lot more to say, but this is just sort of a quick episode, I guess. You know, follow the Instagram, follow Twitter. Twitter shut my account down, so I'm rocking that whole 180 followers now. We'll try to do some things to keep it going throughout the off season, whatever that may be. I kind of have to avoid the timeline as much as I can because there's so many experts and Twitter hall monitors that, like, feel like one opinion is the only right opinion or the only right fact. That gets kind of old, you know. But that's just how everything is, so you just keep scrolling past it, I guess. But, yeah, I mean, I'm excited for the next year, but at the same time, I'm like, I'm not tweeting sites. I feel like that's bad luck. I've tweeted that too much. Felt let down too much. Fuck tweeting sites. And, you know, I'm just going to let the season play out. Take it game by game and just see what they do good, what they do bad, and hope that they improve on the bad. And hope whatever they do good that they continue to get better at. I feel like this team last year, they had certain mismatches all the time that they didn't take advantage of, and things like that. So it just gets so annoying when you know that they had things that they could be exploiting, like, time and time and time again, but it's just like they really didn't have anybody that could efficiently get Bagley the ball. Like, you saw how Tyus Jones got Jahlil the ball time and time again without problem. Like, the perimeter players would have the ball and they couldn't even get it to Bagley. And stuff like that would just irk my nerves. And then they'd be swinging the ball. Swing, swing, swing. Wide open guy. It's Duvall. I'm like, fuck. If that would be like Kennard, like, oh my God. Or Frank Jackson. But, I mean, Duvall shot good towards the end of the year. But the team just wasn't complete. At times, you would see flashes of how complete they could be. And then it just, they couldn't bring it together for a full 40 minutes or, you know. So, yeah, I was pretty depressed, if I'm being honest, because so many things in that game could have went the other way. I guess Grayson having the last shot is fine because it almost went in, but, I mean, I feel like if Bagley catches it and just turns around and throws it up, there's like a 70% chance it goes in. I feel like maybe Trent taking a shot, he just has that, like, I feel like he doesn't miss in those situations. But it is what it is. So Grayson's gone. That whole loving that he's there, or people hating Grayson Allen, not Duke fans, you know, that's gone now. So, you know, kind of sucks. Everybody likes him, and, I mean, for Duke, and he's just, like, kind of like an icon. But, you know, it does suck because after that freshman year, you thought he was going to be, like, this killer and everything, and he was, but it was an on-off switch that sometimes flipped off, and his next 3 years, he had so much talent, and he never got another ring. And I think that he, you know, I think he could have got another ring. just like J.J. Redick, he never got a single championship, and he doesn't consider himself one of the greats because, you know, one of the top five or whatever of Duke players because he didn't get a championship. Damn, top five greatest Duke players. I have no idea who would be in that list. For me, it would take a while. Just because there's so many that are interchangeable. That's something worth thinking about. I think Battier is definitely in my list. I think he's a lock. Leitner is a lock. Then I got to think really hard. But yeah, that's a good one to think about. I don't like making those type of lists and like locking it in, because I feel like on any given day I can change one or two guys out. So, you know. But yeah, I mean, that's pretty much it. The loss sucked. I'm going to knock this out because I haven't done one in a while, and this marks like a full year that I've been doing this. So I guess that's kind of cool. When I first recorded the first one, it was on my iPhone in my car on some GarageBand app. And I did like 10 minutes and it was so awkward. I think I've deleted it since then because it was so terrible audio, so awkward, so, you know, I'm still not the best at this. I say certain word fillers and stuff a lot. But to see how far it's came in a year, that's kind of cool. I just did it because it was fun. It was like I wanted to just talk about Duke and maybe catch a few people listening that like agree or are interested. And it kind of worked. I mean, there's a lot of – I've met cool people through this. I've hung out with cool people through this, and I've even had a few people like in the city I live in listen to it and like reach out to me and stuff. So, I mean, that's kind of cool and it's fun. And I just want to ride this thing out to a championship. Like the year that they win a championship and I'm doing these, and that's going to be like, 'cause it's going to etch it in vocal history. Like I'll get to record an episode right after the game or the day before the championship or right after they win, and it's just going to be crazy. Like this year we were going to go to the first round games, we were going to do a lot of fun stuff. Obviously they didn't get set in Charlotte, but maybe this year, hopefully. I don't know how I feel about — it's just tough. Like, it's tough for an all-freshman team or a majority freshman team in the starting lineup to win regular season championships, ACC championships, things like that, just because there's so much that they're learning through the time span of the season. They're playing certain veteran teams who don't have near as much talent but have just been together. Like, take a look at like a Notre Dame type team with Colson and Matt Farrell and things like that. Veteran teams that have players that have been through it time and time again. While your team is just sitting there learning for the first time. So it's like so many bumps and bruises that they have to work through. And that's like, will you sacrifice a regular season championship to win an NCAA championship to go through the bumps and bruises then to be ready for the championship? It's like, yeah. But it's almost like if you had that veteran team, you could win all. But then you see with Virginia, like, they had a veteran team. They did great, and then first 16 seed to beat a 1 seed. Obviously, one of their most important players was hurt. That could have made a big difference. But, I mean, you know, anybody can beat anybody. So, that's just how it is. I mean, you know. I think there's going to be a ton of changes in the NCAA with rules, regulations, money. Like, the next 10 years, I think a lot is going to change. Same for the NFL. Like, the NFL, there's so many new studies, technologies, things like that coming out that so much is going to change with rules and tackling and helmet technology probably. I mean, they might be running around in airbags the way things are going. And then with basketball, with the scandals, the paying players, like there's so much that the average person doesn't understand or doesn't know. It's going to be a lot to change, and it'll be interesting to see. Capel's gone now. I think Shire's an associate head coach now. Capel's to Pittsburgh. Nolan Smith stayed on the staff, which rumors were he was leaving. I'm so happy he stayed. I like him a lot. I think him and Shire are huge for, like, relating to the players because they're kind of fresh off of it. They're not fresh off of it, but they're young and they've been through it and they know what it takes. And they're good at relaying that and keeping people calm and keeping them in the moment. I think that's big, especially when we have so many freshmen. So, yeah. I'm glad he's there. Capel going to Pitt. That's okay, too. Happy for him. He's great at recruiting, so Duke kind of loses that. But they're still great at it anyway. And Pitt gains that, so. Capel recruited Blake Griffin to come to Oklahoma. That's what literally everyone says about him when you talk about Capel. Now, I think he hired his brother, who was the broadcaster. So, that's cool. It's going to be kind of awkward when they play each other. Duke and Pitt, Capel and K. Just because I'm so used to seeing him right there beside Coach K. Yelling and screaming the whole game and looking stressed out and sweaty and shit. So I think that's going to be kind of awkward. But yeah, man. And girls. That's that. I don't know. We'll see. We'll knock something out whenever the draft comes up. And when the season starts getting closer and closer, we'll start looking at teams and expectations and, you know, what's to, I don't know what's to expect for Duke. That's not really a thing. But like how things are shaping up and who's looking good and what the lineup you think, like I haven't really watched tape of most of these guys coming in. I've watched a lot of Trey Jones. Well, not a lot, but more than the other guys. I've watched a decent amount of RJ Barrett. Zion, all I've seen is dunks, so I haven't looked into him too much. It always looks like he's dunking on like little 12-year-old white kids. So I haven't looked into him too much. So I'll have to look into that or talk to somebody who does study that type of stuff. And then Cam Reddish, I haven't looked into too much either, but I think he's going to be a huge piece. And yeah, so appreciate the listens. Appreciate everything. Hope everyone is doing good. It's getting warm outside. The trees are blooming. You know, it's going to be beach season soon. So I'm looking forward to all that. Yeah. Thanks, and we'll be back soon, and hope everybody has a good rest of the weekend. Peace.